Reincarnated for Revenge. Chapter 461. I want the child. Kal, I miss you so much. I'm not blaming Callie anymore. Can you accompany me to get treated? I'm in so much pain. It really hurts down there. Mirabelle said. Her situation was unspeakably tragic. Upon hearing Mirabelle's words, many initially thought she was too weak. However, as events unfolded, they suddenly understood it was a love triangle. It became clear that outsiders really had no place to comment. Callum suddenly chuckled. Is that so? However, I don't want to accompany you, he said, his words laced with a mix of self, mockery and cruelty. I once thought you were just vain, without any particularly egregious actions. But now, you increasingly alarm me. You can calmly claim Callie's achievements as your own, and you can laugh while poisoning others' throats. Anything that belongs to someone else, as long as you want it, you'll seize it by any means necessary. Now, you can even kill the child in your own womb without batting an eye. You know what? Suddenly, I can't even recall what you looked like as a child. You truly feel like a stranger to me. With every word Callum uttered, Mirabelle's complexion grew a shade paler. By the end, she was nearly incapable of standing. The people around were taken aback to discover Mirabelle's disreputable past. Their sympathy for her quickly faded, replaced instead by a sense of fear. Mirabelle let out a cold laugh. Kal, are you so certain it was me? Yes. I've done many wrong things in the past, but does that mean you should automatically assume I'm responsible for what happened today? Kal. People change. The old Callista would never have done this. But look, what has become of those who opposed her now? Mirabelle gave a bitter smile, her eyes gradually filling with resentment and icy mockery. Yes. They all got what they deserved. Their downfall, their deaths, they all brought it upon themselves. But Callista is not the same Callista anymore. Why couldn't she have pushed me instead? I'm the real victim here. Kal, why can't you distinguish right from wrong anymore? You're not acting like yourself at all. Mirabelle's words, accompanied by her tears, stirred a wave of sympathy among the crowd. People would always tend to sympathize with the vulnerable, especially in Mirabelle's case. Her body was covered in blood, and her alternating bouts of crying and smiling compelled people to feel compassion for her. Compared to Mirabelle, Callista was so aloof she barely seemed human. Therefore, even knowing about Mirabelle's past misdeeds, there were still people on her side. Enough. The righteous girl who had just been arguing with Callum couldn't stand it anymore. She walked over, took Mirabelle's hand, and glared fiercely at Callista. You all are powerful and influential. Can't we, who are insignificant, avoid provoking or hiding from you? After that, the girl scolded Mirabelle, and you, even in this state, still don't take care of yourself. Do you want to bleed to death or what? Mirabelle's crying grew increasingly uncontrollable. I'm fine. The person I love has fallen for someone else. Whether my health is good or bad, whether the child is still with me or not, what does it matter? Mirabelle's ambiguous words left everyone utterly astounded. Could it be that she was bearing Mr. Callum's child? Moreover, the person she loves has fallen for someone else. Does this mean that Callista has come between her and Mr. Callum? Upon closer reflection, it's true that in the past, Mr. Callum was good to Mirabelle, and his behavior toward Callista was blunt. With that in mind, everyone suddenly thought Callista seemed even more contemptible. Finished at that moment, Darren rushed over in a hurry. Seeing that Callum had actually arrived and there was a pool of blood on the ground, he knew something was amiss. "What's going on here?" Darren questioned. Mirabelle shed tears and flashed a bitter smile. "It's okay. It's all okay now. Please, Mr. Newell, arrange for someone to perform dilation and curettage on me. I've lost my child, what?" Darren never expected that within a mere span of 10 minutes, such an incident would occur in the hospital. Moreover, it seemed like it was somehow connected to Callista. "Are you done?" Suddenly, Callista's indifferent voice rang out. Just when everyone thought she would retaliate, she instead walked up to Mirabelle. Mirabelle instinctively took a step back, thinking that Callista was about to hit her. But if it came to blows, so be it. After all, her goal for the day was to tarnish Callista's reputation. She despised Callista and wished she could just drop dead. Yet, Callista simply extended her hand, doing nothing more than tucking Mirabelle's hair behind her ear. "I have a question for you. Do you truly desire this child?" Callista asked. With the support of the young girl, Mirabelle seemed to gather a bit more courage. Enduring humiliation, she said, "Yes. There isn't a mother who doesn't love her child. I was supposed to have my first child." After saying that, she cast a glance at Callum, and she cried again. That sight was truly pitiful, stirring sympathy in all who saw it. Moreover, it further fueled doubts about whether the child was indeed Callum's. The girl supporting Mirabelle couldn't help but give Callista a nudge. "Have you had enough? Isn't your fame just a result of good luck and good looks, stealing other people's men to get where you are now? You've already caused her so much harm. What more do you want?" the girl asked. Callista was shoved, but she remained unmoved. Instead, she shot back a cold glare and responded, "Since you're aware that I hold a higher status than you, who gave you the audacity to shout at me?" Hearing that, the girl went silent, and her face was reddened. Callista looked at Mirabelle once again and asked, "Are you really sure you want this child?" Mirabelle was also intimidated by Callista's imposing demeanor, but at this point, there was no turning back. She steeled herself and declared, "Yes. I do." Chapter 462. A miracle, all right. Callista answered. Did she just say all right? Callum looked at Callista. Callista's gaze was fixed on Darren when she ordered, "Prepare the operating room. I'm going to save the Ferris." Darren looked at her, puzzled, then glanced at the pool of blood on the ground, hesitating before he asked, "Given the circumstances, is it still possible to save the fetus?" With a swift movement of her fingers, Callista released a needle, which directly penetrated Mirabelle's abdomen. Her gaze was icy, yet it carried a hint of self-assuredness. "Just because you can't, doesn't mean I can't. Callista's words inexplicably inspired a sense of sea mere trifle for her. What others found impossible seemed to be a "all right, I'll get the operating room ready right away." Darren was somewhat excited. He thought of some countries where medical advancements had reached a point where even men could become pregnant after sex change surgery, and where one could choose the gender of their child. This woman might have bled, but it doesn't necessarily mean there's no hope for her. This is a great opportunity for the doctors to learn something. Could it be that she could really do it? Mirabelle gaped, her eyes wide open as she watched Callista's needle disappear into her abdomen. She felt no pain. In fact, the initial discomfort in her stomach was immediately alleviated. A wave of warmth rose from her belly, making her feel so comfortable that she wanted to sigh in relief. Her mind was shocked at Callista's medical skills. Just when Mirabelle was too frightened to speak, Callista, on the other hand, laughed. "You can keep this pregnancy, and if there are any issues with the child in the future, you can come to me. After the surgery, if there are any complications with your health, you can also come to me. I'll take full responsibility. However, there is one thing I must tell you. If I help you maintain this pregnancy and you miscarry again, especially in such a short span of time, you might face lifelong infertility." At this point, Callista, with a smirk playing on her lips, slowly said, "Of course, you love this child so much. As long as you give birth to him properly, you can still get pregnant in the future. I will also pay the mental distress compensation to the Yost family afterward. After all, it's my bad luck to have been scammed, isn't it?" As her final word fell, the hospital bed was also pushed over. "Now, go ahead. I'll save the fetus." Callista's words hit Mirabelle like a relentless bombardment, leaving her dazed and unable to respond for a moment. She was a dancer, skilled in the art of avoiding injury. When she had tumbled down the stairs earlier, it may have looked perilous to onlookers, but in reality, she was unscathed. The child, however, was in grave danger. However, Callista claimed she could save the child even in such a dire situation. "It's fine if she fails, but what if she succeeds?" Mirabelle looked at the bed with uncertainty and apprehension, hesitating fang long time heforacha would lie doom. "If Callista muava to succeed, I certainly wouldn't beat this had the future." Mirabelle could wait for the child to be born before eliminating him and blaming Callista for it. However, having a child implied a change in her figure, aging, and losing her beauty. It meant that Joseph Huntington, the nouveau riche, would pressure her into marriage, which would ruin her life forever. "No. Don't save the fetus." Mirabelle changed her mind. Upon seeing Mirabelle step back, everyone looked at her with a peculiar gaze. Callista was even more relentlessly urging, "Why aren't you coming up? If you keep delaying, it will interfere with my ability to save the fetus." Upon hearing this, Mirabelle cast a desperate glance at Callum for help. However, Callum, having witnessed the scene, had already become expressionless. She wanted the child gone, yet she used this child to frame Callie. Now, she's reaping what she has sown. From the moment Callie revealed that Mirabelle had thrown herself down, he knew that Mirabelle did not want the child. Callista looked at her with a half smile. What are you waiting for? Don't you want this child? You even mentioned before that this is Mr. Huntington's first child, so he would surely have a shotgun wedding. Why are you looking at my fiancé? Mirabelle's face was deathly pale. Even the girl supporting her could feel the embarrassment. The girl abruptly let go of Mirabelle, raising her voice to say, "Exactly. No matter how detestable this woman, Callista, is, your child is of utmost importance. Rest assured, if anything happens to you under her watch, I'll definitely seek justice for you." The underlying implication was as though she couldn't wait for Mirabelle to die on Callista's operating table. The moment she let go, Mirabelle almost lost her balance. Right then, Callista said again, "Two of you, help her onto the bed. She seems to be in so much discomfort that she isn't able to move. We should help her." The two doctors had been eager to witness Callista's extraordinary medical skills. Upon hearing Callista's words, they immediately approached Mirabelle without a second thought. However, Mirabelle let out a startled cry and continuously backed away. "Don't come any closer. How am I supposed to know if you're planning to silence me by killing me? I don't need your help," Mirabelle said. Her reaction left everyone bewildered, particularly the women among them. If Mirabelle truly desired this child as she claimed, her response would not have been such. After all, with so many witnesses present, Callista would not dare to harm her. If she said she would save the fetus, then she surely would. After all, if anything were to happen to the child, Callista would bear the blame for a lost life, which would be a far greater blow to her reputation. Yet, Mirabelle was particularly unwilling. This meant that perhaps she truly didn't want this child. Chapter 463. A Wicked Woman. Callista crossed his arms and squinted at Mirabelle. "If you were to die on my operating table, I'd take responsibility for your life. All these people here can bear witness. I'll take the blame if with your health after the check, up. What else are you afraid of?" Could it be that you're afraid that any issues arise the child in your belly might actually survive? At this point, Callista seemed to find the situation amusing, a faint laugh escaping her lips. Her starry eyes held a touch of frosty indifference and weariness, inexplicably sending chills down one's spine, making it impossible to hold her gaze. Mirabelle's mouth opened and closed in hesitation. She contemplated pretending to be unwell but realized it would only give Callista more reason to take her to the operating room. Mirabelle wanted to plead for help from Callum, but he didn't even spare her a glance. "What am I supposed to do? I really don't want this bad seed." Seeing Mirabelle dallying, the girl from before couldn't stand it any longer and exploded in frustration. "What on earth are you hesitating about? Or are you just fooling us? Did you really fall down the stairs by yourself? No way. You're so malicious to harm others and even abandon your own child, and on top of that, you deceived us. You completely fooled me." "No. It's not like that," Mirabelle wished she could faint, yet feared that if she did, Callista might tell her the child was saved, which would drive her to madness. "I can't do this anymore. I've lost so much blood. There's no way this child will survive. Even if the child survives, there will be complications. I just can't. Callista scoffed and enunciated, I told you, no. If he has any problems, if his life is cut short, if he becomes foolish, even if he is a bit weaker than other children, you can come to me. What are you worried about? Are you afraid that I can't take responsibility or that I can't compensate you? Or are you afraid that I might actually save him? Mirabelle kept stepping back. The gazes from the crowd had become incredibly harsh. Her constant stalling was revealing in itself. They had all been fooled by her. This woman truly didn't want this child. They thought perhaps she had willingly thrown herself down. In a state of panic, Mirabelle gritted her teeth and said, "Yes. I don't want this child. But it was you who pushed me down just now. You wanted to kill me because I said something that provoked you." Everyone's expression subtly shifted the moment Mirabelle revealed her sinister and ugly side. They hadn't expected to be truly deceived by this woman. The girl shrieked even louder, "How are you so wicked? You're still playing the blame game. I've truly misjudged you." Amidst a clamor of noise and accusations, Callista shrugged nonchalantly and said to Darren, "All right, there's no need for surgery. Cancel the operating room." Darren wore a look of regret. "I see," Callista chuckled lightly. "There's no need for you to feel that way. I don't even know how to operate." "What?" At this point, everyone, except for Callum, was taken aback. They all believed that Callista was not only a medical genius, but her medical skills were also extraordinarily impressive. Joanie, having knowledge of traditional medicine and a smattering of knowledge about modern medicine, she didn't know how to perform surgery. Upon hearing her say this, Mirabelle suddenly remembered that she had never seen Callista study any surgical knowledge from childhood to adulthood. In her panic, she had forgotten such crucial information. One mistake then led to another. At that moment, Mirabelle's face turned ashen, a faint hint of despair washing over her. Ignoring the surprised expressions of those around her, Callista simply gazed at Mirabelle with a nonchalant look. "Do you still insist on saying that I pushed you down the stairs? If you really believe that, I can't do much about it. After all, we were so close at that time that it's hard to explain even if I try. How much compensation do you want? I may not have much else, but I'm not short on money." When she said that, Callum couldn't help but laugh. Callie spoke with such confidence that no one would believe she was still penniless. Naturally, if she were to go to him for money, he would be more than happy to give it to her. After all, it was only natural for a wife to spend her husband's money. Mirabelle opened her mouth, finally uttering with little confidence, "You purposely hurt me. Even if I didn't want this child, you still killed him. I will sue you for intentional harm, and I will also accuse you of premeditated murder." "Enough." An elderly man suddenly rapped his cane. "I can vouch for it. Ms. Stafford didn't even touch this woman. She tumbled down all by herself." As soon as he spoke, a few others chimed in agreement, "Exactly. We didn't see Ms. Stafford push her. Maybe she just lost her footing." They all held a grudge against Mirabelle for her recent deception. She had echoed a myriad of half-truths, and then, unsurprisingly, not a single person stood by Mirabelle's side. Darren finally managed to grasp the situation. He glanced at the staircase, hesitating before saying, "The camera in that area would have captured everything. We'll know who's in the right and who's in the wrong once we look into it." Only then did Mirabelle's heart sink into despair. "Oh, no. I've sacrificed a child, and I still can't hurt Callista in the slightest." In reality, her situation wasn't something to be panicked about. Even if the camera had caught her, it wouldn't have mattered. She had tried to grab Callista's hand, and Callista had pulled away. It was reasonable for her to claim that Callista had pushed her. However, because she had fallen and miscarried and then been berated by Callista, her mind was in a daze. As she listened to others defending Callista, she could not utter a word in her own defense. Chapter 464. She fights back. Callista stepped forward, pulling out the silver needle. Mirabelle's blood, which had previously stopped, started to flow again. She then heard the icy voice of Callista echo in her ears. "Go ahead and sue me. There are plenty of people who can vouch that I'm innocent. Even if you manage to frame me, all I'll lose is some money. As for you, you should focus on getting better. If you're in a bad mood after a miscarriage, it could lead to lifelong infertility," Callista said. "Callista." Mirabelle knew she had to seek treatment, but she couldn't bear to see Callista so smug. She glared at Callista, gripping her collar, her eyes filled with bloodshot veins. "Why? Why do you have to do this to me? I should be the one basking in all this glory right now instead of you. You've taken everything from me." Every time Mirabelle heard people discussing how much Callum doted on Callista, how he defended her and even risked his life to save her, she seethed with resentment. She believed Callista had taken everything away from her. "Callista has ruthlessly taken what should have rightfully belonged to me. I love him so much. Don't you know how much I love him? Why are you competing with me? Weren't you my friend? Now, because of you, I've lost the good reputation I had built up and my glory. I even have to accompany a nouveau riche that disgusts me. Why would you do this to me?" Mirabelle grumbled. Watching Mirabelle as she spoke, tears streaming down her face, the hand gripping her collar was visibly strained as if it wished nothing more than to strangle Callista. Interestingly, Callista was often asked the same question by many people. Mirabelle, Yelena, and even Quincy asked her that question. They all wanted to know why she was causing them harm. In her previous life, they were all highly respected. Somehow, Mirabelle managed to get engaged to Callum when she was in her 30s, just as she had always wished. Moreover, she became a dance master, receiving accolades both domestically and internationally. Wherever she went, she was met with praise, unlike then, when she was hesitant, erratic, and almost like a resentful woman. Quincy, on the other hand, exploited her reputation as gorgeous medical genius to the fullest. She had pushed herself to the limit, bringing untold benefits to the Wolford family. When Harvey was pleased, he would bring her back, spending great effort to cleanse her humble origins and transforming her into the princess of the Wolford family, fawned upon by others. She used to navigate effortlessly among countless high-quality men, not like then, when she had to pull out all the stops to curry favor with an old man, her reputation sinking even lower than a social butterfly's. Back then, Yelena relied on Quincy, ultimately becoming Harvey's most important mistress, perfectly poised to be his next wife. At the same time, she kept Hans on the hook, completely leaving Benedict behind. When Benedict died, she felt nothing. It wasn't like then, when she had no one to turn to, nowhere to go. In the end, she ended up as a cleaner in a restaurant, at the mercy of others. No wonder they scolded her, for it was indeed her actions that had drastically altered their lives. Right then, Callista's eyes suddenly narrowed. However, their glory in my previous life was all achieved through exploiting and oppressing me. Mirabelle sowed discord and sabotaged my wedding. Quincy was insatiably greedy, stepping on me, yet when I refused to be trampled upon, they played the victims. How shameless! When Mirabelle saw that Callista remained silent, she thought the latter was feeling guilty. Hence, Mirabelle raised her voice and roared, "Why aren't you saying anything? We were friends for over a decade. Look at the state you've left me in. Are you satisfied now? You're really heartless. So cruel." Suddenly, Callista's cold hand gripped Mirabelle's collar, trembling with rage. Using her height to her advantage, Callista loomed over Mirabelle and said, "If you utter one more word, I'll make sure you find yourself in a sorry plight. Do you believe me?" Callista's voice was soft, audible only to Mirabelle, but the murderous intent in her words was heavy enough to send chills down anyone's spine. "You..." Mirabelle barely uttered a word before she was silenced by Callista's intense gaze. Callista abruptly shifted from her usual composure. Her icy gaze then seemed to hold a distinct impatience, hinting at a hidden ferocity. "Despite your incessant bleeding, you still have the energy to talk so much. It seems like you really don't want children in the future. You may have a lot of free time, but I don't. That's why I've been letting you off the hook. But if you provoke me again, you'll get a taste of my real power. Remember those dead people? It appears you're quite eager to join them in death, aren't you?" After finishing her statement, Callista let out a cold, mocking laugh. Her laughter, however, caused Mirabelle's legs to turn jelly. It was as if all her strength had been drained, leaving her unable to move. Mirabelle wondered if Callista had truly been holding back all this while. "If I'm already in such a state with Callista holding back, will I end up dead like Harvey and the others if she comes at me with all her might?" Callum could sense the unusual chill emanating from Callista. Despite knowing he was walking into a minefield, he still approached her, taking her hand in his. "Don't touch me." Instinctively, Callista warned him to back off. But in the next moment, Callum had embraced her from behind. Callum remembered Wilba's words, so he whispered in her ear, word for word, "It's all in the past. Everything is behind us. No matter what happened before, at least you're not alone now, okay?" Finished his gentle voice, like a breeze, gradually dispelled the sharp tension. Callista turned to glare at him, but her tone had already lost its previous coldness. "There are so many people around. It's inappropriate to do this here." At that moment, Callum threw all pretenses to the wind, shamelessly declaring, "I'm holding my wife." They're just envious. It's not like they don't hug their wives. The crowd let out good, natured laughter, seemingly finding this version of Callum quite appealing. It instantly bridged the gap, making him seem less unattainable. Mirabel had never before seen Callum like this. At that moment, the two individuals standing so close in front of her felt so distant, as if the gap between them was poles apart, a distance that could never be bridged. Callum felt the gaze of Mirabel and looked at her. Right then, his eyes sparkled for a moment. "I'll arrange for the medical compensation to be delivered to the Yost family later. Considering our acquaintance of over a decade, this will be the last time. From now on, neither Callie nor I wish to see you again. If you repeat your mistakes, then there won't be a need for the Yost family to exist anymore," Callum said. Although he spoke in a soft voice, the message in his words nearly made Mirabel feel like she was about to cough up blood. "Did Callum say that he no longer wants to see me?" Years of memories seemed to dissolve into nothingness in an instant. Callum's words shattered her every delusion. He was so cold and unshakable. Right then, Mirabel finally passed out. She fell, shielding her vital parts so that the pain wasn't too intense. The miscarriage wasn't the cause. What truly broke her was the shattering of her beliefs. She had yearned for glory and desired to stand above others, but it was all gone. After Mirabel was taken away for treatment, Darren graciously gave Callista a moment to breathe. They then agreed to resume their academic exchange at a future date. Callista nodded in agreement. She also felt a bit exhausted and wanted to return for some rest. On the road, Callum studied her expression, clearing his throat twice before asking, "Are you still upset about Mirabel?" Callista gave him a glance and flashed him a half smile. "What about you? She was so miserable today, and you've known her for so long. Don't you feel the slightest bit of sympathy?" Callum was taken aback, quickly responding, "I've known you for longer. Besides, why should I feel sorry for her when she's the one who chose to fall?" Callum glanced at her, his voice serious as he said, "If you want revenge on her, let me handle it." "Why?" Callista asked. "It's not like him to go after a woman." Callum held her hand, whispering softly, "It's nothing. I just don't want you to worry about these insignificant people, nor do I want them to taint your hands." "Finished?" Callista teased him with a smile, "but you just said you'd let her go. Now you're going back on your word for me. Don't you care about your reputation?" Callum's violet eyes sparkled with a hint of amusement. "When I say something, I mean it. But who can blame me for being an obedient husband? You outrank me, after all. So, what's wrong with following your orders?" Seeing the effort he put into coaxing her, Callista shook her head with a smile. "How did you become so silver-tongued?" Suddenly, Callum leaned in a bit closer. Inside the car, his eyes sparkled faintly as he whispered into her ear, "Don't you know? A content man is the most agreeable. If you're willing to keep me well fed, I assure you, I'll be even more compliant than I am now. Give it a thought, my queen." In reality, Callum had a strong desire to take advantage of her there and then. However, Callista was in a bad mood that day, forcing him to postpone this plan. his priority was to stabilize the situation first. Callista shook her head. Well, this is for the best. She looked out the window, a mysterious glimmer appearing in her eyes. It's easy to go from frugality to luxury, but difficult to go from luxury to frugality. Mirabelle was unknowingly sheltered by you for so many years. After losing that, with each passing day, she'll only become more discontented and resentful. She'll blame everybody but herself. She's known to have unrealistic ambitions. This mentality, in the end, will be her downfall. There's no need for me to intervene. Callista said. Even when predicting the other party's misery in the coldest voice, Callista had a nearly ruthless purity, much like untouched snow, devoid of any dust. One had this is the woman I'm in love with. Callum couldn't help but sigh. Even though he wished Callista could remain as she used to be, when it came down to it, after he had fallen for her, he loved her no matter what. When they arrived home, they saw that Wanda was already waiting for them anxiously. She could have been the most worried mother, in law in history. Not only was she concerned about any unspoken lingering effects her son might have, but she also fretted that Callie might reject her son because of them. She was full of unspeakable worries. Ironically, Yulisa was privy to the inside story, but she couldn't spill the beans. She had made a promise to Callum that she would never reveal his embarrassing moments. As soon as Callista returned, she became Wanda's focus. Callie, we were just about to have dinner. How was work today? Was it tiring? If you ask me, you really shouldn't have gone to provide free consultation. Being a doctor is so exhausting. You should just stay home, go shopping with me, and pamper yourself with some beauty treatments. A woman needs to take. Chapter 466. Wanda is worried. Callista was warmly welcomed by Wanda, who managed to steal a moment to shoot a stern glance at Callum. She said to him, "Why were you in such a rush today? You left without even drinking the stew I prepared for you. It's still warm in the kitchen. Go and have it quickly. If you don't finish it, won't let Callie pay you any attention." Wanda asked Callista, "Isn't that right, Callie?" Callista courteously nodded, a teasing smile playing on her lips as she looked at Callum. "Yes. I always listen to Aunt Wanda. Mom." Callum felt that his mother was becoming more and more unreasonable. Unfortunately, Callista was completely submissive to her, which undermined his authority at home. "What are you waiting for?" Wanda asked, hands on her hips. Left with no choice, Callum had to retreat to the kitchen, temporarily leaving his wife behind. After Callum left, Wanda took Callista to the dining room. Silas and Yulisa were absent during their meal. Wanda filled Callista's plate with food and said, "Go ahead and eat. You don't need to wait for him. By the time he finishes that bowl of medicated meal, I bet he'll be full." Callista looked at her somewhat curiously. "Aunt Wanda, did you send Callum away because you want to ask me something?" Wanda gave a small nod. "Callie. Eat something first." Surprisingly, Callista set down her fork and said, "Aunt Wanda, if there's something on your mind, just say." Upon seeing Callista, Wanda noticed that her demeanor appeared normal. However, on closer inspection, A hint of fatigue was evident. Callista didn't look at all like someone who had been rejuvenated, which made Wanda feel increasingly uneasy. Truthfully, I shouldn't be the one to ask this. But if I don't, it just doesn't sit right with me, Wanda said. Callista laughed softly, saying gently, Aunt Wanda, feel free to ask Pei anything. Callista's unwavering compliance emboldened Wanda, who then gave a nod. Callie, now that Callum has recovered from his illness, does he have any lingering effects? No. Why do you ask? Callista looked at her, puzzled. Wanda decided to take the plunge. Did you have sex with Callum last night? Startled, Callista slowly nodded in agreement. There was no way to hide what had happened the previous night. The two main characters had disappeared together, and it had happened at Fairchild Manor. Callista thought Wanda would have guessed it already. Wanda seemed a bit agitated, but she managed to suppress it. With great caution, she asked in a hushed tone, So, last night. Well, how many times? Callista's face turned peculiar in an instant. She felt truly embarrassed being questioned like that. Wanda was open-minded, but Callista was quite reserved. Once. Callista told the truth, and at that moment, Wanda's face revealed an expression of utter despair. This is a huge problem. Wanda was extremely anxious. To her knowledge, Callum hadn't been with a woman for at least 2 years. He was in his mid-twenties, an age known for its insatiable desires. It was rare for him to break his celibacy. However, he only did it once. Suddenly, Wanda felt a sense of gloom wash over her face. However, in front of Callista, she knew she had to maintain her composure. So, in the next second, Wanda turned to Callista with a serious and earnest expression on her face. Calic, don't worry. I've got this situation under control. Callum wasn't like this before. He's probably still recovering from a long illness. During this time, I'll make sure he gets back on his feet. I'll keep him nourished. At first, Callista found it quite odd, but upon further thought she understood what Wanda had in mind. Upon this thought, Callista suddenly let out a mischievous grin. But as quickly as it appeared, it faded, replaced by a hint of melancholy. However, tonight, Callum will surely dash immediately, Wanda reassured, don't worry. From today onward, you'll share a bed with me. Wanda believed she was acting in Callum's best interest. She believed that, until his health improved, he absolutely had to abstain. Otherwise, his condition would only worsen. Callum, I have to inconvenience you for the sake of your future happiness. Callista deliberately misled Wanda, hesitatingly saying, I fear he might not agree. Moreover, if he knew you were doing this for such a reason, he would certainly object. It's fine. Wanda assured. She then dramatically clutched her chest, feigning a few coughs. My heart isn't in the best shape, so if I feign illness, Callum is sure to surrender. Don't worry. Callista nodded with a smile. I'll listen to you, Aunt Wanda. Meanwhile, in the kitchen, Callum was eating the medicated meal that Wanda told him to eat. As he ate, Yulisa said to him, Ah, yes. This medicine is incredibly popular and quite hard to get hold of. I had to put in a lot of effort to secure a bottle. If it's for Callista, taking one tablet a week should be beneficial for her. If you divide one tablet into 7 parts to consume daily, the effects aren't as significant. But taking a whole tablet in a week will. Well, you know what I mean. Callum was so engrossed in listening to her speak that he had no recollection of what he had eaten. He stared at the bottle of medicine and questioned, "Did you find out what it's made of? Have you had it checked? Are you sure there's no issue? Didn't I tell you this was something the developer made for his wife? That guy is just like you, an obedient husband who would do anything for his wife. How could he possibly give her something harmful? I had it tested. The main ingredients are all extracted from food. It's beneficial for women and harmless to men." Callum recalled the last time he had taken this. Other than feeling a bit stifled, he didn't experience any discomfort the following day. So, he put away the medicine bottle. "Fine. Whatever the cost is, I'll repay you 100-fold. Yolisa's eyes lit up, instantly sparkling with excitement. "Goodness, Callum. How can you be so attractive? If I weren't your cousin, I'd be chasing after you. You're so handsome that it's almost infuriating." Callum glared at her. "Give it up. I refuse to be seduced." "Tsk." Yolisa scoffed and looked at him disdainfully. "You guys are not even married yet, and you're already losing your authority. I swear, you're the type to be destined for only one woman in your life." Hearing that, Callum seemed rather pleased with himself. "One is quite enough," he said. "The woman I'm fond of is a masterpiece. Other men, upon finding out, will only harbor feelings of envy and resentment." Yolisa's eyes twinkled, and she said in a teasing tone, "Strike while the iron is hot. How about giving her a tablet tonight?" Callum was a bit hesitant. Callie was in a bad mood today. Yolisa stared at him with a look of frustration. "There's no bad mood that can't be solved by a session of sex. If not, then 2 sessions. Also, I've noticed that Callista is particularly reserved and passive when it comes to emotions, but she does have feelings for you. However, if you don't take the initiative, who knows when you'll finally win her heart." Yolisa even asserted, "Moreover, the quickest way to a woman's heart is through physical connection." "Callum, didn't you say you wanted to fight back? There's no time like the present." What she said made sense. Callum thought back to the previous night when Callie had ruthlessly tied him up for the entire evening, and he couldn't help but grit his teeth. "I'll make her a cup of milk tonight." Yolisa glanced at him. "Wait here. I'm going to ask the housekeeper for some information." After that, she dashed off, and after a while, she returned as if she was blown back by a gust of wind. "I found out that Callista has already gone back to bathe. However, she's bathing in Aunt Wanda's room. She's probably hiding from you. Time waits for no one. Don't hesitate. Go for it." The thought set a fervor in Callum's heart, his violet eyes slightly narrowing. He nodded seriously and said, "All right. I'm on my way." As he stood up, Yolisa noticed the stew in front of him. "By the way, what have you been drinking?" It smells rather peculiar, she remarked. Feeling a bit overheated, Callum loosened his tic. I'm not sure, but my mom's cooking skills have deteriorated. This dish tastes awful. If it wasn't for the fact that Wanda had spent a long time stewing it herself, Callum really didn't want to eat it. Yolisa gave a slight nod, not taking it to heart. She just suggested, why don't you prepare 2 glasses of milk? Sending over just one would be too noticeable. Don't worry, that person assured me that this. Chapter 467. His scheme. Callum hadn't expected this young girl to be so meticulous. He found himself impressed. If you applied this level of detail to your work, your father wouldn't be so stressed out, he said. Why are you still here? Yolisa looked at him helplessly. Callum sprang into action immediately. Reflecting on the frustration he felt the night before, Callum increasingly felt that Yolisa was right. He needed to strike while the iron was hot. Besides, he was genuinely desperate for sex. The mere thought of it made him feel incredibly excited. He carried 2 cups of milk upstairs. At this moment, Wanda had left to attend to the daily household chores, leaving Callista alone in the room. Does she really think I'll be helpless just because she has hidden herself here? She should know my mom is absolutely on my side. What a miscalculation on Callie's part. Callum was rather optimistic. As soon as Callista stepped out, she saw Callum. She ran her fingers through her half-dried hair, smiling as she asked, "Why are you here?" I'm going to sleep here tonight. Are you planning to join me? Callum sat on the couch, lifted his refined chin, and flashed her a dazzling smile. Oh, no. Thank you for last night. I won't disturb you tonight. I came to bring you some milk. After you finish it, you can rest early. Milk. While Callum's overly flamboyant smile graced his face, all Callista could do was replay one thought over and over in her mind. Well, one who offers unsolicited hospitality must be harboring evil intentions. Callum nodded. You've had a long day, too, so I understand. Finish your milk soon and get some rest. As he stood up and offered her the glass of milk, Callista raised an eyebrow in surprise. No need. I don't eat anything after brushing my teeth, she said. Callum was taken aback. It's all right. You can rinse your mouth with water later. Seeing that Callista was about to refuse again, he put on a pitiful expression and said, This is my first time making hot milk for someone. Could you please just drink it? Are you going to sleep after I drink this? Callista took it, her question laced with ambiguity. Callum had mischievous thoughts when he heard that. Perhaps after you finish your drink, you might just decide to leave with me. Of course, we'll just be going to sleep. Callum then hurriedly nodded. Yes, I'll leave as soon as you finish your milk. Callista slightly lifted her cup, appearing as though she was about to take a sip, and at that moment, Callum held his breath. He had never resorted to drugging someone before, so he was rather nervous. However, his longing for Callista firmly quelled his uncase. He stared at the glass of milk, his eyes subtly gleaming. Chapter 468. Getting tricked. Callista chuckled lightly. What about you? Why aren't you drinking? A sense of relief washed over Callum. Picking up a cup from the side, he said, We'll drink Fogather, okay? Callista glanced at her own cup, then at Callum's, before suddenly asking, You wouldn't mind if we wet our cups, would you? Upon hearing her words, Callum stared at her, dumbfounded. Unable to contain herself, Callista burst into laughter. What's the matter? Can't we exchange? Or is there something wrong with my milk? Why would that be? Callum immediately retorted. Gritting his teeth, he traded with her. It's just regular milk. It's not like I'm going to harm you. After they switched drinks, Callista saw him holding the milk without taking a sip. She asked with a mischievous smile. Why aren't you drinking? Callum averted his gaze. I'm not really thirsty yet. Yet, it seemed as though Callista was deliberately opposing him, persistently refusing to let the matter drop. No matter what, you have to finish it. I'll only drink after you've finished yours. What if it doesn't taste good? You should test it for me first, she said. How could milk not taste good? With a sense of resignation, Callum looked at her, then feigned reluctance as he tipped his head back to finish the milk in his cup. In reality, a weight had lifted from his heart. In reality, he had already anticipated that Callista would want to trade with him, which was why what he initially gave her was without any added elements. It was quite something to think that even in a relationship, one needed to engage in a battle of wits and courage. After finishing his drink, he turned the glass upside down. Are you happy? Callista found it peculiar when he actually drank it. Could it be that there's nothing wrong with the milk? She had smelled the previous cup of milk and the one she traded with Callum. Neither had any particular scent. Taking a small sip, she found it didn't taste any different from regular milk. Have I misjudged him? Callum cleared his throat gently, urging, Come on. Drink up, so you can get some rest sooner. Callista nodded, taking a sip. Seeing her drink it, Callum felt a surge of excitement. It's done. In the next moment, however, a kiss laden with the sweet scent of milk landed on his lips. Callista forcefully pushed him down onto the couch, kissing him passionately from above. During their kiss, she parted his teeth, passing all the milk to him. You, Callum's eyes widened in surprise. I see. You don't like my kisses, she sounded quite disappointed. No. Why would you? Callum was initially a bit flustered, but he quickly composed himself, furrowing his brows as he said, I just had a drink, and I'm struggling to have another, so you go ahead and drink it yourself. Is that so? Callista blinked. At that time, Callum was seated. She, clad in a long bathrobe, was straddling him in a seductive pose. Her eyes sparkled like stars, and she asked with a half smile, What if I feed it to you? Are you going to say no? Are you disgusted by me? No. Callum was adamant about not wanting to relive the experience of the previous night. He was there to win Callista over instead of bringing trouble upon himself. However, Callista didn't let him off the hook. She said with a smile, You'll only know if you're disgusted or not if you give it a try. After she finished speaking, she tilted her head back, took another sip, and leaned toward him with her head lowered. The message was clear. If he were to reject her milk, that would mean he rejected her. Her eyes were filled with laughter, her lips glowing with a tender light. Callum's throat bobbed, and he knew what not to do. However, when Callista did that, he simply couldn't resist. Callista pressed her lips against his. Her kiss was a paradox of burning passion and icy detachment, an addictive enigma he could never decipher no matter how many times he tasted it. Unconsciously, Callum found himself swallowing another mouthful of the specially concocted milk. This is unbearable. Feeling his body heat up uncontrollably, he subtly arched his body, attempting to conceal his embarrassment. Yet, Callista seemed to be somewhat addicted to this game. A surge of rebelliousness ignited in Callum's heart when he saw her constantly looking at him with such a pure yet captivating gaze. Why am I the only one getting tricked? If I'm going down, I'll take her with me. With that in mind, he suddenly took the cup from Callista's hand, giving her a mischievous smile. I've already proven that I don't find you disgusting. What about you? Do you find me disgusting? Sensing trouble, Callista quickly tried to escape, but Callum's grip on her waist held her back. By then, she had nowhere to go. The next moment, she felt the world spin. Callum proceeded to lie her down on the couch and pinned her down. Ignoring Callista's struggles, Callum drained the cup of milk and wanted to feed it to her through a kiss. Callista desperately tried to turn her head away, resisting with all her might. However, she was held steadfastly by Callum's unyielding grip, leaving her with no chance to escape. Despite her strength being greater than most, her struggles were in vain, and in the end, she was made to finish the milk. Right then, she knew there was something wrong with the milk. After forcing the milk down her throat, Callum found himself addicted to her kisses. He didn't let her go. Instead, he impulsively tore her clothes. He kissed her even more passionately and held her tightly, not allowing her to resist. Ever since she fell ill, Callum had always treated her with a gentle and cautious demeanor. This somewhat savage treatment was something from their very beginning. Reliving it once again oddly stirred a different kind of thrill in her. Submit to me, Callie. You were so naughty last night. You must compensate me, he said. Chapter 469. Critically. At that moment, Callum completely forgot about his plan. He desired to tease Callista to the point of her breaking down, whimpering, and pleading with him. Only then would he have her. He thought that would certainly feel incredible. At that moment, however, all he wanted was to yield to his own desires. Absolutely, swiftly, and completely. Possess her. No. No. Callista was already drained, but she still had her wits about her. This is Aunt Wanda's room. Do you still call her that? Callum lowered his lashes, a smile playing on his lips as he gently pinched her face. He said fondly, "She's your mother, in law, so you should address her so." Callista's face turned a subtle shade of red. Quick. Get up. Aunt Wanda will be back soon. Callum was somewhat displeased as he pouted. Fine. Let's head back and carry on. As he spoke, he forcefully suppressed his own desires, lifting Callista into his arms. Callista let out a soft gasp. "Put me down quickly. No way. If I let you go, you'll just run off, you little rascal. Be good and come to my bed tonight." Callum laughed triumphantly. However, at that moment, there was a sudden, frantic knocking at the door. "Miss Callista? Mr. Callum? Mrs. Fairchild has fallen ill." "What?" Callum quickly set Callista down, feeling slightly annoyed, yet without a doubt. After all, Wanda was eagerly hoping for him and Callie to hit it off. Knowing that they were in the room, there was a chance she would even accommodate him by sleeping in the guest room that day. Therefore, if she were said to have fallen ill at that moment, it was definitely genuine. Callista's expression became somewhat complex. Uncertain if it was the effect of the medicine, she surprisingly found herself not wanting to let go of Callum's hand. However, Callum quickly straightened Callista's clothes, taking advantage of the moment to touch her. He whispered, "I'll go check on her first. Call for old Mr. Yancey, or bring your silver needles with you. She's having an old ailment, but it hasn't acted up in a long time. Perhaps your acupuncture might help." Actually, Callista looked at him anxiously, feeling a bit embarrassed. More in the past, Callum would get anxious, but not as he was then. Ever since he contracted K-virus, he lived in a constant state of impending death for 2 years. This experience made him cherish his loved ones and handle matters with greater maturity. Even after recovering, he maintained this attitude. His urgency at the moment made her feel somewhat embarrassed, prompting her to consider telling him the truth. However, Callum was just too impatient. After he finished speaking, he didn't wait for Callista to respond. He quickly kissed her cheek and rushed out the door, leaving Callista somewhat nonplussed. Ah, such a man can actually be quite charming. Ever since Wanda found out that Callum had gone to her room, she had become somewhat anxious. She knew that if Callum were to act on his desires before resolving his issues, it would not only inflict further harm on him but also leave unpleasant memories for Callie. Therefore, for the sake of their future happiness, she was truly giving her all. She dusted her face with the lightest shade of powder, and her lips were coated with a fading balm. Her complexion appeared dreadfully pale, giving off the impression of someone critically ill at first glance, even though she was perfectly fine just moments ago. Upon seeing Wanda in this state, Callum was instantly filled with rage. "What's going on? Quick! To the hospital. Their home had everything needed for such emergencies. They had a stretcher, a mobile bed, and even an elevator, so there was no worry about a bumpy journey. Given Wanda's condition, it was crucial to get her to the hospital immediately." "Wait. Wait," Wanda knew she had overreacted. She said in a low voice, "I might look a bit frightening, but it seems like my heart isn't hurting anymore. Let Callie check on me. We have the best doctor in the world right here at home. Why bother going to the hospital?" "But," Callum frowned. "Even Callie has her limitations. I'm just worried about delaying the treatment. Despite being a patient." Wanda was full of energy when she ordered. "There's nothing to fuss about. Call Callie over. Callum had also become very good, natured. All right. She and old Mr. Yancey will be here soon. Don't speak. Just close your eyes and rest well for now. Sean arrived first, but Wanda didn't let him examine her. No. I want Callie to examine me. If Sean were to examine her, her plan would fail. Sean touched his nose, wondering if Wanda was dissatisfied with him because he hadn't been able to cure her chronic ailment for so long. However, why is her ailment acting up today? It was indeed rather peculiar. Wanda had been consistently taking the health supplements he had prepared for her. It had been a long time since she last had any issues. After Callista arrived, Wanda clung to her as though she was a lifeline. Callie, could you examine me? I don't think it's serious. I probably don't need to go to the hospital, right? Overwhelmed with concern, Callum momentarily overlooked Wanda's unusual behavior. Turning to Callista, he urged, "Callie, can you quickly check on her condition?" With an expression of helplessness, Callista took Wanda's pulse. Out of sight from others, Wanda secretly flashed her a thumbs up, leaving her torn between laughter and tears. At that point, Callum asked, "Why hasn't Dad come back yet? Didn't you guys call him?" He wondered if the housekeepers kept making mistakes that day because they were getting on in years. Upon seeing Callum about to call Silas, Wanda panicked. "Don't. Huh." Callum's piercing gaze swept over Wanda, causing her to lower her head guiltily and cough lightly. She covertly pinched Callista, who only then realized and quickly spoke up. "Aunt Wanda is fine. It's just a bit of an imbalance in her vitality. I'll administer some acupuncture later to help her out." "It's nothing major," Callista said. Chapter 470. Unbearable night. "Exactly," Wanda hurriedly said, "so don't bother your dad right now. Our family business is really taking off lately, and he's been busy expanding into overseas markets. He's exhausted every day." Callum found himself slightly puzzled, his brows furrowing in confusion. However, not wanting to trouble her husband was consistent with Wanda's behavior all along, so he decided not to dwell on it much. "Then, Callie, could you please help her out?" Callista nodded, her expression stiff. Wanda's eyes sparkled before she said, "Callie, why don't you sleep with me tonight? Silas mentioned he won't be home for a few days. If you're with me, I'll feel more at ease." Callista gave a bitter smile, but before she could utter a word, Callum was already nodding. "After you've helped Mom with her energy flow, why don't you keep her company and rest? Things will be better when Dad returns in a few days." Callista laughed and shook her head. "All right then." Callum showed a look of approval, feeling that this was quite good. While other families often had some mother-in-law and daughter-in-law issues, their household was exceptionally harmonious. His father had always spoken highly of Callista, urging him to cherish her. His mother, needless to say, treated Callista as her own daughter. As for him, the woman was his sweetheart, his precious gem. Their family was filled with such harmony. Wanda quickly said, "Then help me back to my room so Callie can perform acupuncture on me." The housekeeper promptly took action, assisting Wanda back to her room. Before Callista could follow them inside, she was abruptly pulled into a corner by Callum. He kissed her fervently twice, with such intensity that her lips swelled before he finally let her go. Even through his clothes, Callista could feel his arousal. Once again, a peculiar expression crossed her face. "You really spiked the milk, didn't you?" she asked. Otherwise, why would she feel like she was about to melt into a puddle when he held her like this, yearning for his rougher handling? Callum wore an expression of helplessness, which then abruptly turned fierce. "This is all your fault. I'm going to be miserable tonight. But the medicine is harmless, so it's not a big deal. Callie, let me hold you. I feel so hot." Asterisk serves you right, Callista did not resist his embrace, taking in the refreshing masculine scent that emanated from him. As her body grew increasingly warm, she couldn't help but turn her head to lightly lick the side of his neck near his earlobe. This simple action nearly made Callum shudder from head to toe, almost driving him insane. In an instant, the temperature in their corner rose sharply. Callum held her face and began biting and kissing her fervently with a force that seemed as though he wanted to devour her. Just when Callista thought she was about to lose control, Callum suddenly pushed her away. He hung his head, panting, as if it took all his willpower to keep his desires in check. Luckily, he had only consumed half a glass of that milk. If he had drunk it all, combined with his longing for Callista, he might have thrown caution to the wind and taken her right then and there. If Callista was feeling rather helpless, she was privy to the truth, yet she couldn't voice it. She knew if she did, Callum would undoubtedly vent his anger on Wanda. Despite Wanda's occasionally erratic behavior, at the end of the day, her intentions were always for their best interest. Moreover, if she revealed the truth, it was certain that Callum would be even more furious with her. In order to punish her, he might devise some cunning tactics to torment her. It was crucial for her to protect herself. "You better go," Callum dared not look at Callista, afraid that with one more glance, he wouldn't let her leave. "Voice hoarse," he added. "Thanks for doing this. If Mom has any issues, let me know immediately, okay?" "Okay." Leaning against the wall, Callista nodded obediently. "Then, I'll be going." "Yeah. Are you going to let go?" How was she supposed to leave if he held her so tightly? "All right," reluctantly, Callum let her go. Could there be a more heartbroken fiancé than him? He had just missed another golden opportunity. "I'm really going." For some reason, Callista unexpectedly felt a wave of embarrassment seeing the usually energetic Callum in such a dispirited state. Callum mustered up his energy and said, "You go ahead. I can handle things on my own." "You can handle it yourself." Callista thought of something inappropriate and chuckled. "All right, good night." Callum was somewhat taken aback, as he rarely saw Callista smiling so radiantly. However, the thought of the upcoming unbearable night instantly filled him with dread. Could it be that he had had it too easy all his life, and thus, fate sent Callista to torment him? When would he finally be able to stand tall and take control? Callista headed to Wanda's room. By then, everyone had left. Given that Callista was administering acupuncture and Wanda was a woman, it wasn't appropriate for others to stay and watch. How did it go? Wanda asked with a hint of smugness when she saw only Callista entering the room. Didn't I tell you I could get Callum to behave? Did he do anything to you just now? Seeing Callista's lips all red, Wanda couldn't help but chuckle mischievously. Oh, look at you. Your lips are all swollen from the kiss, aren't they? Seems like I'm being the villain today. It was more than just playing the villain. If Wanda knew the truth, she would likely be filled with regret. As Callista mulled over it, she found herself caught between embarrassment and amusement. She was the only one privy to the whole truth, yet she chose to remain silent. Go wash your face quickly. It's quite terrifying to look at, Callista reminded with a smile.